I want you to take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter 2. I will want us to settle ourselves, and if for some reason you have an emergency and you need to step out, that's fine. But I don't want you to use this front door. Use one of the back exits. And then when you come back in, we may have you set toward the back just so you don't interrupt people's attention. Acts chapter 2. Stand with me, if you would, please. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. I'll read through verse number 7. You can follow along silently as I read out loud. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans?" Verse number 7, I want you to give special attention to it. The Bible says, "And they were all amazed and marveled." They were all amazed and marveled. I call the sermon today, "Let's marvel and be amazed." Let's marvel and be amazed. Let me pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. Limit the interruptions. Help us to pay attention to what the Spirit would say to us today. Spirit of God, do a supernatural work. Do something special for us in this place, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. This is an amazing story. It's the story of the day of Pentecost. Peter would be the primary preacher on this particular day. God's plan was to get the gospel spread all around the world. The Bible says that devout men from every nation have all gathered together to hear the gospel. And each would end up hearing the gospel in his own language. When Peter began to preach, a very historical event takes place. They are all hearing, according to the scripture, in their own language. Now, God either did something so that Peter could speak in that language, or he did something to their ears so that they could hear in their language. But the Bible is very clear about what took place that day. The Holy Spirit ends up helping people from everywhere to hear the gospel in their tongue. That's their foreign language. Now, people misrepresent that, but that's what the Bible teaches took place there. And then the Bible says in Acts 2:7, they were all amazed and they marveled at what took place. Now, the gospel was preached, and then God even takes it to another level. After the gospel was preached and all these people heard in their native tongue, there were 3,000 people that got saved, and they end up getting baptized, which then introduced them into the church, into the membership of the church. Now, I got to tell you something. What an amazing day down at the New Testament Church of Jerusalem. You think you had a hard time finding a parking spot around here today? You should have been there that day. They, you know, for there to have been 3,000 people to get saved and baptized, their crowd was far bigger than that. There were far more people than that there, and so this was a packed-out situation. Now, and what had happened? A revival is taking place, and that day it went to this amazing level. But then that revival continues. You find out that probably in about 6 months' time, one day I kind of calculated a little bit, about 6 months thereafter, there were probably about 60,000 people that end up getting saved, and God is just doing an amazing work. But I'll tell you something, you'll find out in a moment. I'm going to show you what's happening. Look right this way and pay attention. Don't interrupt people. But what happens here, the Bible says in Acts 2:7, they marveled at what took place, and they were amazed. But then, in weeks to come and months to come, you find out they didn't lose that feeling of marveling at what God was doing, and they didn't lose their amazement about what God continued to do. Folks, could I recommend to all of us, we ought to marvel at what God has done for us. And here at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, there are churches out there that say you can't have revival in this day and age, and you can't get people to come to church. Well, look, if you look from the front of this auditorium all the way back into the foyer area, there are chairs out, and if you're a guest here today, that's nothing new around here. It's been like that for weeks and weeks and weeks. What's happening? Hey, God's given you and I something to marvel about. And you and I, we ought to be amazed at what God is doing in this day and age, in an old-time religion church where people are still getting saved and people are still getting baptized and people are still joining the church. Hey, folks, let me tell you, if you're not careful, you'll end up having yourself backslid, and I'll tell you why. God is still the great God that He's always been. God's still working. God's still working in our church. But if you're not careful, you'll cease to be amazed and you'll cease to marvel, not because God has lost anything, but you lost it. You lost the marvel in your attitude. You lost the amazement that you ought to have for God. I did a little something. I got to looking at what God has done for our church. I wish I could just take an hour and give you a list of what I've seen God do for our church. I just took a couple of items and I thought about them. For instance, I asked myself, I wonder, since I've been the pastor here and I just celebrated my third anniversary as pastor, I asked myself, I wonder how many visitors we've had come to our church in 3 years. Now, so you understand, these are our visitors cards. Now, every one of these represents a family that's come to visit us. Now, I don't know if you realize, but that's a pretty thick stack of visitors. So you understand, probably we've had over almost 500 adult visitors in 3 years. We've had over 1,000, actually, I counted 1,011 children and teenagers that have visited our church, which means this. In the last 3 years, we've had 1,418 people that have come to visit our church. You know what? I marvel at that. I marvel at that. There are churches out there that can't even get their members to come visit the church, let alone go get some visitor to come. And they come because we invite them. They come because somebody told them that there was something happening down here. Lots of them have just driven by the building and said, I'll tell you what, the parking lot gets fuller and fuller and there's always something going on. I just wanted to go see what was happening. I marvel at that. And folks, marvel at the fact that in 36 months, almost 1,500 visitors. And so you know, those are just the ones we have recorded. I can't tell you how many people come. They don't fill out a visitor's card. They pop in. They end up in what I call the overflow. That's our foyer. That's the balcony. They end up way, way back there, and they come in, sit down, don't get a visitor's card, walk out. Hey, listen, almost 1,500 people in 36 months have come to see what God is doing at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Hey, I thought, well, maybe we could look at the subject of salvation. That's big. I want to show you something. That is the stack of salvation decisions. That's all the people that have been saved in the last 3 years. That means this. They walked in the back door, lost, and on their way to hell. They were not saved. We took a Bible. We showed them that they could be born again. We showed them that Jesus was the Savior. We showed them that everybody's a sinner and that there's a price on sin and that Jesus Christ paid that price with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We showed them that if they by faith would ask Jesus to come into their heart and save them, He'd save them and take them to heaven someday. And you know what they did? They bowed their head. They closed their eyes, and they prayed, and they asked Jesus to save them. Do you see how thick that stack is? I marvel at that. Every one of those cards represents somebody that was lost and on their way to hell, and they came to church, and we told them the truth about Jesus, and they got saved. But here's the thing. We've had more people saved, not in church,
by our soul winning efforts than we've had saved in the church services. Which means this, if we had a stack of cards for all the people that were saved when we were out knocking on doors, sharing the gospel through the bus route, through Saturday 10 a.m. soul winning, through teenage soul winning, through Thursday night soul winning, through our efforts, if we had a card for every one of those, this stack would more than double. Be that high. I marvel at the fact that God is still working at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I marvel at that fact. And not only that, it amazes me. Now, folks, let me warn you, if you're not careful, it'll be commonplace to you. You know, we see people get saved in our church services all the time. There are some churches, if somebody got saved, they'd all be saying, "Oh, it's been years since we had somebody born again at our church." Hey, we see it week after week after week after week. And churches, they just lose their focus and they forget, hey, it's not all about the church portfolio. It's not all about how padded their pews are or how fancy the chandeliers are. Hey, the church, it's all about getting people saved. It's all about the fact that there's a heaven and that there's a hell and there's a real God out there. And we've got to keep that before people. But I just marvel at that stack right there. Look at that. Look at what God has done. Don't lose track of it. Hey, I love what I've seen. It said there in Acts chapter 2, verse 7, it says they were all amazed and marveled. They are all amazed and marveled. I call the sermon, "Let's marvel and be amazed." Marvel and be amazed. Hey, stay amazed at the power that is found in the preaching of the Word of God, and marvel at what it will do for you and I. Marvel at the preaching of the Word of God. Stay amazed at the preaching of the Word of God. You find out in Acts 2:7, it says they are amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" You know what they were amazed at? The message that was being preached. They marveled at the Word of God that was being preached. Folks, never underestimate the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1, tells us that Jesus was a preacher. And might I say, He was the Prince of Preachers. And Jesus was a preacher. Folks, stay amazed at the preaching of the Word of God. Marvel at the preaching of the Word of God. Hey, for some of you, let me remind you of something. You remember the first time that you went to church and a real preacher got up and he preached from the Word of God and he preached with authority. And you sat there and you said, "Boy, never a man spake like this man." And you thought, that's how it ought to be done. If somebody's going to represent the great God of the universe, they ought to do it with dignity, but yet with power. And yet with something that makes a difference, that keeps people's attention. It ought to be done that way. Folks, never lose your marvel at the preaching of the Word of God. Never lose your amazement at the preaching of the Word of God. Has the preaching of the Word of God lost its marvel to you? Has the preaching of the Word of God lost its amazement to you? We were getting ready to come out this morning for this morning's service. And you know how it works. Emma Smith, she pops the door open so the choir can come out. And then we had the ugliest guy in the church lead us out, Brother Pine. And then thereafter, just ugly man after ugly man, and then we get to all the women who are all fantastic and beautiful and all that good gravy, and then we end it at Brother Edwards and I come out. We were getting ready to come out. Oh, yeah, save the worst for last. And then we got ready to come out. I turned to Brother Edwards, and my palms were sweaty, and I said, "It does not matter how many times I do this. I still get nervous when I know I'm about to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and open the only book that God ever wrote." But let me tell you something, folks. Don't you forget what God's Word has meant to you through the years and the preaching of the Word of God. And you keep it fresh in your life. Don't you get tired of it. The Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, it's powerful. Hey, the Bible says they marveled at what was said and they were amazed at what was said. And I think you and I, we need to keep on marveling. And we need to keep on being amazed. Not only that. Not only was it the preaching of the Word of God that they marveled at, but then, hey, we ought to marvel at the healing power that is in Jesus Christ. The healing of God in lives. See, in Acts chapter 3, and remember, that's where this whole story came from. We see more of their story. Remember, I told you on the day of Pentecost, they marveled and they were amazed, but it didn't stop there. It carries throughout the book of Acts. You keep seeing the words marvel and amaze. What's that mean? They marveled when the revival kicked off, but they didn't stop marveling after one big day or after one blessing. They just kept saying, hey, you ever heard the song? Well, he just keeps blessing and blessing, and he keeps on pouring it on. I'll tell you something, don't stop marveling. Don't stop being amazed. I'm amazed at the healing power of God. In Acts 3:10 it says, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Let me tell you what's happening. Here you see, they're amazed again. They're marveling again. About what? Here's the story. Peter and John were walking into the temple, and there was a man sitting outside the temple, or the church if you will, and that man was begging. And the Bible says that that man needed to be healed. And Peter said, in Acts 3:6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. Well, here's a guy, he's lame. He's in bad shape. Peter and John are walking in, the man's begging, and Peter said, sir, I can't give you any silver, I can't give you any gold. I will give you what I have. And the man said, well, what do you have? And Peter said, I can give you Jesus. And the man said, well, you give me a dose of that. And the Bible teaches that that man trusts Christ. And as a result of it, Peter reaches down, grabs a man's hand, and picks a man up. And a man that could not walk prior is now able to walk. And the Bible said everybody that heard about the lame man that got healed, everybody marveled and they were amazed at what God could do. Folks, can I tell you all something? You better not stop marveling at the healing that God makes available to you. And don't you stop being amazed at the healing that's available through Jesus Christ. I want to make something very clear to you. Did you know that all healing comes from the Lord? You say, I went to the doctor. Well, who made the doctor? Yeah, say, well, I took some medicine. Well, where'd they get the ingredients for the medicine? You know, everything that anybody uses is all borrowed from the chief creator, the one that made it all possible. God keeps healing. And don't miss that, folks. God is still healing people. And we ought to stay and marvel at that and be amazed at that. If you get, people say this, they say there's no cure for the common cold. Well, then why don't we all have one? Everybody here that's ever had the common cold, would you please raise your hand? Huh, you may put your hand down. How many of you still have the common cold? Okay, one. Mike Armstrong has a common cold. His head's just full of baloney. That's what it is. But look, they say there's no cure for the common cold. I beg to differ with you. The great God of the universe has healed us every time we've had the common cold. And that might be one of those that God has just not chosen to let man try to steal any glory from him. Folks, God is still a healer. And you continue to marvel at his healing power and continue to be amazed at his healing power. Hey, I remember back when I learned this thing of God healing and who really deserved to get credit. And I marveled at that and I was amazed at that. And then I'd hear a story about somebody that got some of that healing and I'd be thrilled. But I'll tell you what happens. If we're not careful through the years, we cease to be amazed at God who is still healing, and we cease to marvel at what God is still doing. You take, for instance, Brother Young, you better marvel and be amazed. You're walking into this building today because the great God of the universe healed you. This man had a massive heart attack. It's a heart attack, and Mrs. Young, I don't try to scare you or anything, but they call it the widow maker, and you know that. They called it the widow maker. That's the kind of heart attack he had. He had two heart attacks. And the man's here serving God today. God healed you, my friend. God brought you through that. Hey, marvel and be amazed. I was thinking Wayne Durbro, he's been sick. And I remember back, Brother Wayne, you and Brenda remember back when the doctor, they felt like Wayne's back operation would probably paralyze him for life. He went in, had his back operation, came out walking, and he's been walking ever since. He doesn't walk very fast, but Wayne is up and a walking. And Wayne, don't forget, God healed you. Be amazed at that and marvel at that. You just think, Brother Jason, out in the hallway. Jason, I've thought time and time again, I have no idea how your accident happened, but let me guarantee you, 900 pounds that fell on your feet sure are awful close to the rest of your body. Do you realize what God could have spared you from? And watch what God can do. God is a healing God, and God has been healing, and God can heal, and He will heal again. Brother Kenny Hacker is back in Children's Church today. You say, why? Well, he's a little immature, so we put him back there. No, Brother Kenny Hacker, one of our good men here at the church, I remember back when we were praying for Kenny when he was facing his cancer. We wondered what would happen, but God stepped in and God was able to derail that word called cancer out of Kenny's life. And there are people in here, I could point to people and I could say, I remember when that person had a stroke, and I can remember when that person had a heart attack, and I can remember that when that person was dealing with cancer. But you know what? God has a way of getting involved. And look, I'm a firm believer that God still heals. Now, there are some people that try to make a three-ring circus out of that whole thing, and I don't agree with that. I believe that God deserves the credit and God deserves the glory, but I still believe that God is still healing. You know, there's a story in the Bible. There was a blind man that was sitting on the roadside. Jesus come by, and he spit in some dirt, and he took the mud and put it on a blind man's eyes and made him see. You say, that is incredible. Do you realize that all day long, every day, God is busy healing and using His own technique and His own method? When you say, oh, that's amazing, spit and dirt and put it on eyes and make someone see, do you realize that you're made of dirt and God made your eyes work in the first place? That's amazing. Stay amazed. Keep on marveling at the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Keep on marveling at the healing of God. Hey, keep marveling. Stay amazed at how God changes the lives of men and women. God's a life changer. The Bible says in Acts 9:21, this is furtherance of the story. Remember, they got this energy on Pentecost and they said, we are marveling. We are amazed at what happened today. But wait, it carried on. Here we are, five or six chapters later, and they're still marveling and they're still amazed. Acts 9:21, it says, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent? Now, here's what happened. There's a man, so you all know, there's a man by the name of Paul in the Bible. If you're not real familiar with Paul, his name before Paul was Saul. And Saul was originally an enemy of the Christians and an enemy of the church. Matter of fact, Saul was so mean toward Christians, he would have them put to death. He consented unto the death of a deacon by the name of Stephen. You say, why? You don't know deacons well enough to understand it, but I do. Saul, this guy, he was known for persecuting God's men and the church. But Saul gets saved. In Acts 9:5 it says, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Here's Paul getting saved. Or actually, his name is Saul. Saul gets saved. And the Bible says that God so changed the life of Saul, they changed his name. Saul gets saved. Saul ends up being filled with the Spirit of God, and then God ends up using the man named Saul, who's got a new name, Paul, to write probably 13 books of the New Testament. Now, let me tell you something. He used to put Christians to death. He meets Jesus on the Damascus Road. He gets saved. He goes from an enemy of the church to becoming a leader of the church. He goes to trying to kill Christians. He goes to wanting to salvage and help people and get them saved and change their lives. He becomes a preacher. Now, what an amazing story. And the Bible says, when people met this guy named Paul that used to be Saul, everybody goes, wow, that's amazing. That's what it says, Acts 9:21. They say, that is amazing. They marveled at the fact that Jesus could change a life. Hey, I still marvel at the fact that Jesus can change a life. Hey, stay amazed at the life-changing power that's in the church and in Jesus Christ and in the Bible. I'm amazed. Hey, I'll just tell you this. I'm amazed at how God changed me. I'm amazed what I watched Jesus Christ do with Jeff Owens. Now, Jeff Owens is a far cry from what he's supposed to be. And I'm not a good example of much of anything in life. But I can tell you this, I am not what I used to be. I am a new man in Christ Jesus. I may still do wrong, but I don't like it like I used to. You know, when I was unsaved, when I first got saved, I could do wrong and like it, but I'll tell you something. Now I don't like it. Now I regret it. Now I'm convicted of it. Now I'm trying hard, and I'm trying to serve God. Folks, some of you need to remember, and when you got saved, you were a mess. But God has established your going, and God has put your feet upon a rock, and God has changed your life. Now, lest some of you misunderstand it. Some of you, you know, you're reared in the church all your life, and you don't have the testimony that you used to go out and drink and smoke and cuss and do all those wild things. Just let me remind you of something. You were still a lost sinner bound for hell. You were still someone that needed the Savior, and when God saved you, He did more changing in you than what you would ever realize. And if you got saved when you were 4 or 5, you ought to just thank God your life didn't end up in chaos for the first 15 years of your life, but that God spared you from it. But I'm amazed, and I still marvel at how God changes the lives of people. I don't ever forget it. There are some of you, you have testimonies, and you could say, oh, if people only knew what I used to be. You don't have to go tell everybody what you used to be, but I will tell you this, don't you forget. Don't you forget. Don't you forget when you used to be so hopeless because your life was such a mess. You cry yourself to sleep at night and you were hopeless, and you turned to the alcohol and the drugs and so many wild things because you're trying to drown out your past life and what you were. Hey, God saved some of you and put your feet on a rock and began to clean you up. And not a one of us are finished products, and not a one of us are everything that we ought to be, but thank God we are not what we could have been, and God has changed us. Hey, and they marveled at the testimony of Paul. They were amazed at that testimony. And folks, let me tell you this. If God could do it for me, and if God could do it for you, there are yet those out there that need to get born again, and they need to get in the church and start getting their life rearranged through Jesus Christ. Let's marvel and stay amazed at that. But not only that, I think of how they were amazed at the power of God. The Bible says in Luke 9:43, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. Here they are again. They're marveling. They're amazed. They marveled and were amazed at the preaching of the Word of God. They marveled and were amazed at God's healing power. They marveled and were amazed at God's ability to change lives. Now, they marvel and are amazed at the power of God. The Bible, in this story, a man brought his son who was possessed with an unclean spirit to Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus casts out that spirit, and he tells him, how did you do this? And he said, we did this through the power of God. Folks, you need to stay amazed. Our God is still the ultimate power in the universe. Stay amazed at that. Marvel at that. You stay amazed and you keep marveling at His power to cause the sun to rise and the sun to set. You keep marveling and you stay amazed that His power still causes the stars to shine. You stay amazed and you marvel at the fact that birds can fly because of the great God of the universe. You marvel and stay amazed that fish swim because of the power of God. You marvel and stay amazed that He controls the mighty ocean. Folks, let me tell you something. Anybody can say anything they want, but I'm going to tell you. I watched the hurricane coming up the coast. I watched it get to our area. I happen to believe that God rested His hand upon us, and we watched it go around both sides of us. Oh, we got a little bit of it, but we didn't get the mass of it, and it could have been a whole lot worse. And you want to know? I'm going to give God credit for watching out for us and taking care of us, and I believe I still marvel at God's watch care, and I still marvel at God's protection. Hey, it is God that determines where it'll rain and when it'll rain. And I thank God, stay amazed and marvel. Hey, did you know that God has the numbers? He's got the hairs on your head numbered. Now, for some of you, He has to use less numbers than others. But that's the God of the universe. Stay amazed and marvel at what God has done. Look, the power of God is still available in this day and age. It's still there. Now, it is misinterpreted so many times and abused in its teaching, but I still believe in the power of God. I still believe in the preaching of the Word of God. I still believe in the healing of God. I still believe that God is a life-changing God. Hey, stay amazed and marvel. Did you know this? Did you know that money can't buy you heaven? It can't buy you heaven. When you get into Matthew, the Bible says when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? What God does is he makes a statement. He says, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter to the kingdom of heaven. What it's basically telling you is this, you can't buy salvation. You say, why? Well, first of all, you wouldn't have enough money. Why? Because it's too valuable. Understand something, folks. God made salvation available to you and I, and it is a gift. It's something that He makes available as a gift. Some people have a hard time understanding it. But even if we did have a bunch of money, we wouldn't have enough to buy it. Jesus was the one that had what it took to make salvation available. Our salvation has been paid for in full by another. If you're here today, you say, well, Pastor, I don't have a lot of money. How could I go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, Pastor, I'm not a real good person. How could I go to heaven? You're not going to go to heaven because you're a good person. You're going to go to heaven because Jesus was a good person and He died for you. Hey, I'm for you being a good person, but your works don't get you to heaven. It is the grace of Jesus Christ. He made salvation available. Stay amazed at that. Keep marveling at that. Our God is a great God. Hey, I got to give you one more before I close this sermon out. Although, I've got many other points in this sermon, and I wish I had another 30 minutes to share them with you. I don't. But listen, keep marveling and be amazed at God's ability to forgive. The Bible says in Luke 5:26, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear. Here's the story. There was a man that needed to be healed, and Jesus ends up forgiving that man. And the Bible says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And they said to Jesus, said, who do you think you are, Jesus, forgiven sins? And he said, well, I'm God. I have the power to forgive sins. Now, you all ought to keep marveling and stay amazed about how God forgives you. You know, we ask God to forgive us, and we turn around the next day and do something else that's stupid. Then we turn around and say, God, forgive us. And He said, okay, I'll forgive you. And then we turn around the next day and do something else stupid. You understand how busy God is forgiving us? Why? Well, our God is a forgiving God. And I'm glad. And thank God for it. You ought to marvel at His forgiveness. You ought to be amazed at His forgiveness. Folks, I'm finished. But let me tell you something. If you're not saved today, you ought to realize God loves you. He wants to save you. There's a song that we sing. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And I wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. They marveled and they were amazed at so many things. If you're not saved, if you realize you're a sinner, and that there is a penalty for your sin, and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection, if you'll turn to Him and you'll say, Jesus, forgive me my sin, come into my heart and be my Savior, He'll take you to heaven someday when you die. You say, I just marvel at that. That's amazing. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Let's keep marveling. Let's keep being amazed at our great God. Don't let it become old hat. Don't let it become commonplace. I think the most exciting place in the world for me is doing and being what I'm doing right now and what I've got to share with you. I still am amazed that I get to preach the gospel. I still marvel at church and what God does. And I've been doing it a long time. I've been doing it a long time. Folks, keep marveling. Keep being amazed. If you no longer marvel, if you're no longer amazed, it's not because God is less marvelous. It's not because God is less amazing. You're the one with the problem. You lost your grip on our marvelous God, and you lost your grip on our amazing God and what He's still doing. If you're unsaved, once you get saved today, you could marvel
and be amazed like the rest of us. Go to a marvelous heaven and be amazed. Get Jesus as your Savior. How marvelous. Oh, how wonderful it would be for you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The question is this: if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, Pastor, I do not know. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not born again. Pray for me that I'd be saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not saved. Pray for me. I'm not born again. Well, then, let me ask this. How many of you would testify and say, I have been saved. I've asked Jesus into my heart. He is my Savior. And He has spoke. I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Would you let Jesus see your hand and just put it up there and let Him see it? Say, I'm saved. I know it. If I died today, I'd go to heaven. I've trusted Christ. You may put your hands down. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how amazing. All these people and so many that are saved. But if you didn't raise your hand, you come during this invitation. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Folks, have some of you, have you maybe lost your grip on how amazing God is? When was the last time you went out and looked at the stars and remembered it's your God that flung those stars into space? You might want to get a grip on how marvelous and how amazing your God is. Hey, some of you used to bask in the pleasantness of the thought that God forgives you. But you know what? He kept forgiving you, and He's still forgiving you. And He's as much an amazing forgiver today as He ever has been. But have you lost track of how God has forgiven you? Have you lost track of the wonderfulness of this thing called the preaching of the Word of God and lives being changed? Some of you need to push the reset button about how marvelous God is and how amazing our God is, how forgiving our God is. There are people in here, you're alive today. God has stepped in and done some miraculous things in your life. Don't you forget how great God is and how marvelous God is. Maybe God spoke into your heart to remind you today. He still, everything that's amazed us throughout the century and all these years. Who here would raise your hand and say, I've been reminded. I kind of need to push the reset button on how marvelous God is and how amazing He is. And I need that, Pastor. And you'll raise your hand and say, that's me. I think I needed reminded a bit. God bless you. If you need this altar, if you need to come and pray, the altar will be open. If you need to be saved, you come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you have kind of lost track of how amazing God is, if you've lost track of how marvelous God is, He's still healing. He's still changing people with the Word of God. He's still changing lives. He's still forgiving. Has somehow the preaching of God's Word become unimportant to you? Has somehow the preaching of God's Word been limited in your thinking? Don't let that happen. The Word of God is as powerful as ever. Jesus is as wonderful as ever. They were all amazed and marveled. There was a big revival on the day of Pentecost, and they were amazed and marveled, but you find out in chapters, weeks, and months to come, they continued to marvel, and they continued to be amazed. Let that happen for you. Marvel at the preaching of the Word of God. Marvel at His healing power. Marvel that He still changes lives. Marvel at His mighty power. Marvel that heaven's made available to us through the purchase of through His blood, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Marvel at His forgiveness. Marvel at what God can do. Don't lose track of it. Don't lose track of it. We have people that are at the altar being dealt with on salvation. We'll continue the invitation. The pianist will continue to play. If you need the altar, you may come. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. But let's marvel at the fact people are being saved again. Let's stay amazed that God still reaches down and has time, as busy as the universe is, to save a young man, to save a young lady. Marvel and be amazed. The piano will continue to play. I think of the Stroud family, and I think of what their daughter Courtney went through just a few weeks ago. What a terrible, terrible situation. Oh, I marvel and I'm amazed at how that turned out.
I hate it that it happened, but God knows what a miracle that God protected her and seen her through that. Marvel and be amazed. Marvel and be amazed. Hey, same family. The flood water got all the way to the threshold of their house, and then God let it recede or go down. Marvel and be amazed. You say, what a coincidence. Oh, coincidence. Fooey on that. Those people love God. What's God doing? He's protecting them. Marvel at that. Be amazed at that. Marvel and be amazed. Marvel and be amazed. This is the last time through the song. We may need two or three name takers over here. That way one doesn't have to take them all. So if one of you come over and help out. Brother Edwards, just help him. Help somebody find a seat there, and we'll get them all cared for. Thank you, Sarah.